Okay. Well, we kind
of this.
Well, I thought I was signing up to coach about planning some exceptions with, I'm on an AIP protocol, which is pretty much elimination stuff. Mm-hmm. I've been doing it almost 2 months, and I told myself after 2 months I would allow myself some exceptions because that's kind of in line with what they teach. I'm doing it for rheumatoid arthritis, sort of autoimmune stuff. So,
right.
But then I realized I'm pretty much creating drama around that because I'm really pissed at my husband.
What does your husband have to do with you deciding if you're going to do an exception at 2 months or not?
It doesn't, but I think I'm creating drama around that so I don't have to deal with what's going on with us. You know what I mean?
Yeah, but well, let's just clear up the drama around the exception. Are you going to do it this week or not?
I don't know yet.
No, we're going to decide right now. We're going to give ourselves the gift of a decision. Okay. That's what I always tell Logan.
Yeah, that's a good gift. You know what? I feel so good and I'm comfortable where I am. So there's fear comes up around the exception.
Why does it scare you then? If you feel really good and everything, you have an exception and it's like, ugh, that feels terrible. Then you know not to eat it anymore.
Yeah, that's easy.
Right.
Yeah. Because I know history does not, you know, predict the future, but in the past, going off of a kind of a very black and white protocol has sent me off the rails.
No, so, it hasn't.
Well, I have sent myself off the rails.
No, you haven't. You think that you're going off your protocol is the thing. An exception is part of protocol.
Oh, okay.
It's not going off of it. It's always been part of the plan, supposed to be part of the plan, supposed to be part of the rest of your life. This is the part of the process that you don't want to do because this is the hard part where you're actually like, oh, fuck. You mean we're supposed to eat these foods responsibly? They're supposed to be on my plan. What are you talking about? No, I'd rather just cut them all out so I'm dealing with drama. That's so much easier. Like when you get pissed at your husband, do you just not talk to him?
There's a retreating. It's not silent treatment, but I definitely retreat.
Yeah, you're doing the same thing with your exception. Notice how you parallel yourself in every area of life.
Gosh, darn it. Okay.
That's why I was asking, because like you think that there's drama when there's no drama, there's just this. And then it's like, well, what I really am, I'm just really afraid and I go off the rails and I do all these other things. Like, no, exceptions are part of the plan. Just like not getting along with your husband is part of the plan of marriage.
Wow. Okay. My mind is blown.
Trust me. It's definitely part of the plan because last night there was no getting along in this house.
No.
Heart of marriage.
Yeah. You know, we're doing this big remodel in my house and living here. And he's not really on board. And it's just I've realized that with the remodel and all the disarray, it's like I'm in constant discomfort. So a lot of shit is coming up.
Yes.
So, which is good. I mean, you know, as long as I don't eat over it, and because, you know, getting really distracted with big projects or other things has interrupted my self-care commitment before in the past. And so starting this, I said, I'm not, you know, going to fuck myself up over this. So I'm staying really true to my program and all that. And so the feels are right here.
Well, yeah. Here.
I don't know.
I think it's also just letting yourself notice that you want to create drama when there is none. Just like, you know, you're remodeling your house. It's like you're remodeling your house while you're there. I understand. There's lots of decisions to be made.
Yeah.
I'm kind of doing the same thing at this new house.
Yeah. You know,
at some point, you just have to decide. Everything is literally just a decision, just like, I'm going to have an exception meal this week. That is just a decision. It is not me going off protocol thought. It is not, well, in the past, I've always gone off the rails thought.
Yeah.
We think of them as truths. I mean, you could probably prove it's true, but it's not a fact either.
Yeah. Yeah, you just saying exceptions are part of protocol just kind of blew my mind. And the parallel thing, of course, because retreating is something I've pretty much done my whole life. So
what are the thoughts you have around, like, I don't worry about you in an exception, not at all. Yeah. I think you're going to like be like, okay, so I'm just supposed to plan an exception and like take it like a woman. I'm going to eat something I enjoy. Throw myself down on that sword.
Yeah. Okay.
I mean, just imagine if you planned something and you didn't have fear, like if you weren't indulging in the idea that somehow this is a trigger or like it's something big and scary, like what are you going to have? Tell me what you're having.
Well, I don't see that. There's also unknowns because we're going to a wedding out of town this weekend.
So they'll have cake.
I don't know. I want
a wedding is not going to have cake.
Oh, the wedding will have cake. I don't know if I will have cake.
That's another dramatic thing to say. I'm either having cake or I'm not. So I don't know if I'm going to have any. You're acting as if food is going to be creeping up around you and being like, here I am. It's like, it's a trip. There will be food, all kinds. And you either know you're eating it or you're not. So you're having wedding cake or you're not having wedding cake?
I'm more concerned about alcohol.
Well, we can address that next. Can we just decide on the cake first? Okay. And rather than like quit making this hard.
Yeah. That's my specialty.
Yeah. Well, we need to, like, that's a shitty one.
Yeah, no, it is a shitty specialty.
Let's get very inefficient and terrible at it so that you'll quit doing it.
Well, so because I was thinking an exception would be like one of the things I don't eat now. So cake.
It doesn't matter. Are you having cake or not?
I'm going to have cake.
Okay, so you're going to have a piece of cake. Are you going to drink or not?
Yes.
Okay, but how many?
At the wedding, not at the rehearsal dinner, just at the wedding.
Okay, so there's another decision. So I'll be having my water or whatever I enjoy at the rehearsal, at the wedding. I'm going to have drinks. How many are you going to have?
Heidi just told me to have a damn piece of cake.
No, the rest of us are just like, for fuck's sakes.
Yeah. How many drinks? 3 drinks.
Okay. Anything else we need to plan or are we done?
How about I just eat what's served and not make a big ass deal about it?
That sounds amazing. What if we like skip appetizer bullshit and just like whatever they plan for the meal, I'm all into my 2. And when it's cake time, I might be face down in my slice. That's okay though. I planned it. And I'm going to have 3 drinks. And then you're going to tell your husband just to like cut me off at 3.
Oh, he's not involved in this.
Well, then don't tell your husband. Do you have accountability partners, don't you?
Yeah.
Yeah, like just tell him like I'm a 3 drink girl, made my plan on the call. Like I'm going to either Marco Polo you from the potty after I'm done with all 3 and it'll be the best Marco Polo ever.
That could be.
Or you'll check in with them in the morning or you want one of them to text you or something along those lines. But when you don't make it complicated and you make it easy, then you can create a quick like safety net around you of like, and here's all the other ways that I can put some like parameters in that will only help me. Then you feel really good about going there.
Yeah.
But do you see how it doesn't have to be dramatic? It's just like literally all I did was prompt you with a question and it was a yes or a no.
Yeah. Sometimes those are hardest. It's the decision. And I have a little fear. Well, I just don't know. I want to take the fear out of it. I don't know how it's going to make me feel, if my body's going to hurt the next day and all that stuff.
You may hurt like a son of a bitch. Yeah. But then guess what? You know for sure you don't want to plan that next time.
Yeah. And this isn't like a re-entry of food to see if it affects me. This is just an exception.
Yeah.
So I can do several different foods at once with not, you know, not having to pinpoint what's the problem, what, if there is a problem, what the problem is.
You're looking for a problem. What I would do is just look for it to be an exception.
Yeah.
Just say, like, you know, when I don't do my work around trying to figure out what my intolerance levels are at a wedding, on a trip. A bit like saying, I'm going to Disneyland. It's time to see what my AIP protocol can withstand.
Yeah.
Oh, no, I won't be on the ride. I'm going to be over here with my chart going over my symptoms. Just go have a good time. That's also an option.
Yeah.
So just enjoy yourself. And not make it about food. Connect
with my husband as well, so that would be good too.
Sounds like y'all might need it.
Mm. Yeah.
So what is the drama there? You've got like 2 minutes.
Yeah.
You already solved this whole cake problem.
Yeah. Well, I wasn't even thinking about cake. I was just thinking about the meal. But so we're doing this project, and he's just completely checked out and laid it all on me. And so I've done models, and it's like, you know, my intentional is like, you know, fuck him. And my intentional is like, well, I've got the power now. I can do whatever I want. But it just doesn't feel good to be alone in this. And he's taking no interest. It's another parallel, because I feel like he doesn't take interest. I know these are thoughts. Doesn't take interest in me. And
what are you remodeling?
Like a lot of the, like some of the, not a full redo of the kitchen, but a big, we took a wall out. We did redoing the kitchen, redoing all the floors, laundry room. So
does he cook and do the laundry?
Huh?
Does he cook and do the laundry a lot?
Never laundry, but he does cook some.
So is he like super interested in how the kitchen looks, or does he just want to be able to cook?
It's a good question.
Here's where I'm going with it.
Yeah.
Who gives a fuck about the kitchen, you or him?
I do for sure, but he's the one that complains about how shitty our house is all the time.
Okay. But you're sitting here complaining about how shitty he is being all the time. So you're both feeling the strain of a remodel.
Yeah, but this is an exacerbation of the regular day-to-day with him.
No, that's your thought. This is an exacerbation of the way he is. Like, I think you have this like idea that he's a total a-hole, and now you're looking for all the evidence of how my husband's a total a-hole and how he doesn't care about me and how he doesn't do these things and blah, blah, blah. And so this kitchen remodel is like, here's what I want you to do. If he is an actual a-hole, then let's do it around real things. Let's not do it around bullshit. Like, if you're picking out floors, what is it that he's not involved in that you're like, he should be like straight so interested in this part?
Well, here's the thing. I don't really want him to be picking shit out. I just want him to agree with everything I say.
So you're pissed that he won't just like, oh my God, Darcy. See what I'm saying is like, I need him to be the asshole. So I'm going to figure out a way for him to be the asshole. So I want to pick stuff out. He has an opinion. I'm pissed because it's not my opinion. So now he doesn't want to have anything to do with it. Now I'm pissed because he won't just go along with my opinion.
Well, and the other thing is he's wiped his hand. True. And he's wiped his hands of it and just put money in my account. So now it's like, I have to stay on budget and I'm not going to have enough money. So,
well, it sounds like you need to like grow a pair and either ask for more money, or you need to grow a pair and get on damn budget.
Well,
there's that.
That's well, see, the budget
is a protocol. This is what's funny. It's like you have a protocol for the kitchen.
Yeah.
You don't want to follow that. And then you have this protocol that you're like, I don't want to break it. It's going to send me off the rails if I do.
That's true. Well, because I know there's more money. I mean, he did a big ass project on the patio with no budget, and he gave about twice as much money to the patio as he's doing inside the house.
So did you go along with it?
I had no say. I had no
say.
Yeah, and yes, I went along with it because he wanted to do it and I trusted him to do it.
Yeah.
And I feel like he's not trusting me to do it. It's not like I'm going crazy.
He's just giving you money and saying, I don't want to make a single decision. Yeah, he doesn't trust you at all.
Well, and I'm anticipating him bitching about everything.
What a bitch.
But he had, it's not,
it's kind of like what you're doing. You're doing the exact same thing. He's like, I'm giving you all this money and all you're doing is bitching that I'm giving you all the money to do what you want to do.
I'm not the one that's bitching. I can't be.
You're bitching to me. You're not bitching to him.
You're right. Oh my God. I told Chelsea this morning, I said, it's hard to be so zen when my husband's so ultra negative and look who's doing all the bitching.
I think your biggest problem is you two are just alike and you don't like it because every time he acts that way, it's like, holy fuck, I think this might be me.
I am not. Oh my God. Are we just alike?
Yeah, that's where your work is going to be. And this is the hardest work that I ever assign out is to take someone that you are sold is like the devil right now. Like, yeah. Oh, he's like, you know, hosing me this way and hosing me this way. And, you know, like, oh no, he could never be my accountability partner at the wedding because he's so checked out. Like all these things, right?
Yeah.
Make a bitch list about the person. And then you get really honest and say, where am I doing the exact same things in this relationship or in my life? Find your parallels. Then it gives you some perspective of where they come from because you understand why you act the way you do.
Yeah.
You find it demeaning or, you know, ridiculous or frustrating when somebody else is doing it. And it's because ultimately we're like sitting there going, oh my gosh, this is not how we want to show up as a person.
Oh my. Yeah. I'm an asshole too.
We all are. I got mad at Chris last night. So there was like two things on the website that are on the public side that just blew up yesterday. It was like one of those days where I was like, I don't even want to log into my computer because every time I log in, there's a fire, like a blaze coming straight out of it, you know? And they were both Chris things. So by the end of the evening, I go up there and I am just like Yosemite Sam wanting shit fixed now. Like I told you at one, it's 8 o'clock. What are we doing? Well, he was working on what he wanted to work on. Yeah. And I was so angry, Darcy. I could have killed him. If it hadn't been for Logan being home, I probably would have. Because I wanted him doing what I wanted him to be doing right then. Because like, I just saw how important it was.
Yeah.
Well, I was pissed because you know what he was doing? Sitting there working on something that he thought was very important that he wanted to work on. And it was infuriating to me.
Yeah.
And then I sat there and was like, oh my God, pot calling the kettle black. I'm like, no wonder I'm so upset because I'm being demanding. He's just not demanding verbally. Mm-hmm. He's demanding by just doing what he's going to do. And so anyway, it's the hardest work you'll ever do, but it's where you look for your parallels.
Yeah. Because I retreat, he retreats. I mean, that's what he's done in this project, retreated.
Yeah.
And I've retreated too because I'm not showing him anything. And I thought, okay, my work is to not be pissy about not showing him anything. But that hasn't worked very well.
Yeah. And your work is to either share with him or not share with him, but not because you're pissed at him.
Yeah.
It's to just decide he's not interested. This is my project. I'm a grown woman. He's given me a budget. It's my damn kitchen. It's my decisions. It's my project to manage.
Yeah.
And that's it. And if I think I need more money, I should come to him for more money without drama. Yeah. And be okay if he says no too and be willing to figure it out. You know, that's just where you kind of just start like questioning to yourself. Why am I choosing to make this such a big deal? Does it have to be a big deal? Or is this kitchen going to get remodeled one way or the other?
Yeah. It's funny because I've called this because we're empty nesters and it's like time to redo and we've called it Operation Grown Up. Shit. I set myself up for this, which is good. It's amazing. But, you know, not being able to, but not using food or drink or alcohol or anything to buffer. It's like, it makes it all come up. So it's great.
Well, not only does it make it come up, which is the best part, but it allows you, like when you don't have the food and stuff distracting you, you get to work, like you will get to be able to start creating a different relationship with your husband through it because you're not distracted by food and drink.
Well, and I'm not like a harried bitch at him either. You know, I'm kind of retreated because I don't want to be that person either. Excuse me. So
you're just
learning how to interact in different ways.
Yeah. I think it's just a matter of you're just trying to, like, you know, your old MO and now you're just trying to figure out your new MO. And I'm going to tell all of you, like when you're going through stuff like this, when you're doing your thought work and like, if like, say like me, I've always been like the angry version. Mm-hmm. I really wanted to get ballistic.
Yeah.
Like, I don't want to be that person, but I also don't want to be, it's like, you just try on different versions of you until you find the one that fits. It's like, I also don't want to be the one that's like, oh, it's all okay. Mm-hmm. I want to be the kind of person who can like say, this is what I want in such a calm manner and also be okay if he says, that's not my priority right now and be understanding about it, but not just like, I don't know, be wilted flower either. It's like, I want, you know, but it's taken several iterations of me trying on different ways to be like, this is how I show up in my relationship. And then, you know, and I notice when I get really angry, you'll get good at that. You'll get to the point to where you can get like old Darcy comes out, like is like, he's an a-hole. And like, you just want to go nuts. Yeah. And you'll see yourself do it. And then you'll also see yourself transition to, no, this is how I really want to show up. Like, ultimately, I love my husband or I wouldn't be married to him. And this is a remodel. This is not like, you know, life or death. I don't have to like the budget. I can work within the budget or I can have an honest conversation. Like those are always options too.
Yeah.
And the result is the relationship starts to change. The relationship you have with him starts to change. The relationship you have with you starts to change. That it ultimately is your result line. More money for the kitchen is not the result. It's always like the result, try to make it about you. Don't be trying to get an outcome. Try to get like a true result for yourself.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Thank you so
much. Go have cake and booze this weekend. Let us know how shitty you feel on Sunday and, you know.
Woohoo!
Thanks, P&P. I feel like crap.
Never. I would never say that.
All right. Love Thank you, lady.
Thank you so much.
All right. Bye, sweetheart. All right. Let's try it again. Where'd you go? Sarah, are you here? Let's try you again if you're here. Raise your hand. See what we got going on here. Here we are. Now, lower left-hand corner, I think, unmutes you. Something about turning on some audio or...
Can you hear me?
Oh, you're echoey.
It wasn't working on my laptop when we tried, so I tried on my phone too.
Oh, okay. All right. Well, now we're golden. Do you work like in a library?
No.
Oh,
in my office.
Wow, you got the books.
Yeah, I got a lot of books.
I'm gonna call you the reader. What are we coaching on?
Thank you. I'm new. I was at January camp. I loved it. I've been a member since May, but I really got on fire in January. I can't wait to come back to camp. So I'm on
day to April.
I can. I'm all over the country. That's part of my thing.
Oh, okay.
But I am on day 42 of a 24-hour plan.
Yes.
And I feel like I'm going to cry because it's made such an enormous difference.
Oh.
So what we're coaching on today is that I have some events that are coming up in which my picture is going to be taken a lot of pictures. And I want to, you know, I'm moving from like, this is my life. This is accepting myself where I am now. And this is a journey. And but I'm thinking of like all these pictures and how I'm not going to be where I wanted to be when I'm at these events.
Yeah.
Weight wise, you know, physically. and emotionally. And I'm like, I'm psyching myself out. It's like I have these two, and I've tried to model about it, and I'm just not getting anywhere. So it's these two competing things. PNP, in it for life, it's a journey. And then, but reality, job, pictures, you know, and I'm going to look bad.
So how do you know you're going to look bad? Is that your thought? I'm going to look bad? What were you supposed to be looking like in these pictures?
I'm at about 205, and I was supposed to be closer to 185. I wanted to be closer to 185.
So 20 pounds.
Yeah.
And when do these pictures happen?
They start this weekend, and then there's another event. Then there'll be all of April, and then 2 weeks in May.
Okay. So we have basically 2 months, I guess, of you needing to have thoughts about 20 pounds.
Yeah.
Which can actually be less and less pounds by May.
Yeah, except when I think about it, I don't lose weight. But when I don't.
Because you're focused on where you're not at.
Yeah.
You're focused on the version that's showing up is a lesser version. The version that's showing up is like, this is the thing that I think a lot of you miss out on. You think that you should have been a certain weight. No. I want you to think about this honestly. You should have never been that weight for this event. Mm. This is the version you are. What if you had have lost those 20 pounds and you did it through white knuckling and restriction or a crazy ass other diet? Or you did it my way, but you never worked on anything else that you worked on. What version of her would be there? I mean, she'd be 20 pounds less, but what would her struggles be at this event?
Yeah, I wouldn't be able to do my job. I wouldn't be able to show up fully because I would have been obsessed with losing weight. I wouldn't have done my internal work.
Well, and that's part of like what the shame of always comparing yourself to what you think this idealized, like we all think that there's like this better version of us somewhere living out there, like just, yeah, you know, so much more evolved. There's the difference between the future self who's saying, come to me. I'm the version of you that you really want to be. And the version of you that you think you should have been future self versions are not the same people. Future self version got there the way you want to get there. Mm-hmm. Like she's not saying, all right, don't tell Corinne, but we cheated all the way and we're sitting here and we're scared to death. We're going to gain the weight back, but oh my God, we're naked. Just so you know, like that's not your future self. You're thinking of your should have been self, and the should have been self usually is not a pretty picture, guys. Should have been hardly ever does all the work. And should have been doesn't even exist. And that's the saddest part of all.
Yeah.
The only version that's going to these events is this Sarah now. And it's reconciling, is this Sarah now good enough or not? And how do we get her to be good enough? And how do we get her to be the one that you love presenting? It doesn't mean that she's super comfortable in her body. But I don't want you to be uncomfortable in your body because you think you should have been 20 pounds smaller. Mm-hmm. You're uncomfortable in your body, just be like, because I'm still working on my thought work. That is a much different version of Sarah, who is like, I'm working on my body image. I'm doing these things. Being uncomfortable in your body because you're comparing yourself to some shit-ass version of yourself is a terrible way to go in. Mm-hmm. There will be way more shame. There will be all these other things. Going in knowing like, you know, I had goals, but this is the version that's going in. And these are the things I've learned and I'm going to continue to work. And there's no reason why I have to throw my health or myself under the bus over 20 pounds. It's 20 pounds.
Yeah. Yeah. You're absolutely right. I'm going to do a lot of writing about the thought that I am exactly the weight. I will be exactly the weight I'm supposed to be when I'm there.
And you also can do some work on this event is not about my weight.
Right.
Where are you going? I mean, are you going to like a bikini competition that I don't know about?
No. No, I'm it's all work stuff. I'm doing a lot of presenting. And then for the entire month of April, I'm going to Asia with my guy on a vacation. So it's going to be like 95 to 105 degrees. So a lot of, you know, shorts and little tops and things like that for the heat. But there are two separate things. It's really more the professional.
So let's talk about the presenting. Are they coming because they're like, oh my God, now if you had lost that 20 pounds, your message would have been so much better.
It's vanity. It's old stuff. Yeah. It's.
But that's what you have. That's the conversation you'd be having with yourself. It's right. Like when you want to go to the vanity, you need to be like, I'm supposed to be focusing on what a balls out presenter I am. Like when I'm thinking 20 pounds, like who are you presenting to?
Colleagues, peers, people I don't know, some I know.
All in the weight industry?
Yeah. No, not in the weight.
See, that, I mean, it's like.
No, they're churchies. It's
kind of like when we have camp. I will give you a good example. You came to January camp, right?
Yeah.
You heard my speech in the beginning, how like, was it this January or was it October? I can't even remember. Before every camp, I have a lot of body image issues. They all come up like lava in the volcano. They're just like, let's do it. And I've come to expect it. And I just do my thought work around it. And I always think there is not a single person who came to this camp because they just wanted to check out my body. Nobody pays $500 a month to travel to Nashville to say like, I just really had to see what Corinne looked like in person. Okay. Before I'm all in on these four basics, before I listen to a word she says, I need to see what that body looks like.
Yeah.
I always am just like, nobody cares. I have to quit thinking because you care, but we also assume everyone else does. Like if you really didn't give a fuck about what anybody else thought, then this drama wouldn't be coming up. That's why it's there, because we think everyone truly cares about our body stuff. People will have opinions of your body. They always do. Mm-hmm. But you could lose 20 pounds and somebody will still have an opinion about your body. I've lost 100 and people will tell me it's not enough. Or they'll tell, like, I got my mom sometimes. And let me just tell you, Corinne ain't going hungry. And every now and then my mother would be like, are you sure you're eating enough? I'm like, have you seen me? Everybody has an opinion. And it's like, you just get to the point to where you have to start putting yourself into someone else's brain. Mm-hmm. And just assume that if you're going to go in there, that they're always thinking the best of you.
Yeah.
Like, I always think when y'all look at me, that you're not sitting there judging my body. You're sitting there thinking, please help me change my life.
Right.
Say
right.
Something that's going to make it a difference for me.
Yes.
Y'all could give a fuck what size of pants I'm wearing today.
Yeah. Yeah, you're absolutely right. So my intention is to show up just fully myself, whatever weight I'm at, just fully show up, knocked out of the park, be me, be real, be authentic, and savor it.
Yeah, and like do the work from now until then about what you are bringing, not what you're not bringing.
Yeah, okay.
You know, like every time you want to indulge in how you're going to look and these 20 pounds and all this other stuff, you just redirect your brain to, I don't have time for that shit. Mm-hmm. It's pointless anyway. This is what I weigh, 205. I do not weigh 185. There's no sense in thinking about what the 185 version would have been experiencing. Mm-hmm. Let's think about the best experience this version's going to have and why people give a shit about what I have to say. And then the same thing goes when you go to Asia. You going with your man? Mm-hmm. Does he love you?
Yes, yes.
Okay. He wants to have a good time in Asia with Sarah. Yeah. He's not sitting there going, oh my God, we would have had so much more fun if he'd been 20 pounds smaller.
I know, but he takes pictures of everything. He's such a... But...
Then you need to take pictures now and you need to look at them. You need to look at some pictures of yourself. And you need to like get to the point where you can just look at them and just be like, this is me. This is even the good parts of me. All you're thinking is this is the bad version of me. It's like, no, this version is really good. And this person gives enough like shit about herself to keep striving to eat healthier. Like, we can lose weight from a place of compassion. We do not have to lose weight from a place of self-hate. Mm-hmm. And practice more of the compassion side. I guarantee you it's easier to lose weight when you really like yourself.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. You know, there are going to be pictures in April, and then next April when we go on a different trip, there'll be different pictures of me. It's just one, it's a process, and this is going to be one chapter of all of it.
I want you to be able to next April be at your goal weight. And I want you to be able to look at the pictures from this trip and that trip and love both just as much.
Yeah.
No matter what. I want you to be able to look at the pictures and think about, and I had an amazing time with him on this trip. I remember everything we did. I don't regret one moment of it. I don't even regret the pictures. Like, I'm going to look at these pictures and I'm going to remember everything that I loved. I'm not going to sit around and waste my life thinking about my thighs or whatever it is you think about.
Yeah. Okay.
All right, Missy. Well, have fun in Asia. My son would love to go there.
Oh, good.
Yeah. He's going to have to drag his mother out of this country. I'm like, that's a long flight.
It is a long flight.
I'm like, 4 hours is my max.
There's other places you can leave the country. I've gone all over the world. I'd love to give you any tips.
Oh my gosh. That would thrill Logan. I think we're going to Lake Tahoe in June.
Uh-huh.
He was like, Mama, are you going too? He's so used to me being a hermit. I either go to business stuff or I'm a hermit. And I'm like, I think so.
Did they do the guys trip to Colorado? Has that happened?
They went to Minnesota. Yes.
Minnesota.
Oh my God, it was a blizzard right before they got there. So they show up, no winter clothes.
Oh,
it was -3 when they got there. Oh. And so this was Chris. This is my husband. He worries about nothing. They show up and he's like, I already have a plan. We're going to go straight to our BRB. And then in the morning, we're going straight to REI. He was like, that REI has probably got better winter clothes than the Nashville one. I'm just like, well, let's just hope the car doesn't break down on the way to the REI.
Dang, that's cold.
Well, it was hilarious because Chris, and I don't know what happened, but when he rented the car, it was like a car he has not driven in a long time. Didn't even have an auto start or anything. And he said, that car, it was like there was no seat warmers or anything. And I was like, you two are the most like pampered two men that ever lived. But they made it. They had a marvelous time. They went snowshoeing. Logan just loved the seeing things. He doesn't like going places, but he loves nature, and he just was in awe and all this other stuff. So we had seen something about an opportunity that I could go to do a speaking event in Lake Tahoe. Mm-hmm. And we pulled up the pictures. I was like, oh, we got to go. Like,
it's gorgeous.
That's what I saw.
It's the most sparkling place ever. It's just like, it's like a billion diamonds. The water's always sparkling. It's gorgeous. You'll love it. It's amazing.
We swore that we were going to start traveling with him because he's, you know, when he was little, he wouldn't travel. And now that he likes it, we want to start doing some stuff so that we can have the memories and stuff like that. So. We're making up for lost time.
Yeah, you can.
All right. Well, thank you. You enjoy your trips.
Thanks so much.
All right.
Bye. Bye.
Who is next? Is it Lisa? Yeah. I've got Queen's Club tonight. I'm just down here looking at my peoples. All right. So you'll need to go to the bottom left and turn on your audio.
Okay. All right. Do I want gallery view?
No, we're good.
Okay.
Oh, I'm good on my side. I see how I want to see you on my side.
Okay. All I see is a big piece of me and a little you. Okay. Here we go. Can you hear me?
Yeah. What we coach on?
My relationship and my marriage. Yeah.
All right.
So I've been married for 23 years. And, well, we've been together 24 years, married 20. And I haven't been happy for a long time. And he's older than I am. And the last few years, I keep kind of talking about that I'm not happy. He's not happy. And then I kind of keep coming to the same place of either feeling sorry or we have kids and it's just too hard. It's not what I signed up for. So I'm lost. I feel sad. I feel lonely. I'm not attracted to him anymore. I don't know
Why
that
do
I
stay? Have a,
huh?
Why do you stay?
Because of my kids and because I feel guilty.
How old are your kids?
They are 12 and 9 and a half twins.
What? Oh, 9 and a half twins. Oh, Lord, yeah. I thought you had two sets of twins. I was like,
no.
She'd get like a medal. Well, yeah, you should get a medal for just one set of twins. All right, so you stay for the kids?
Yeah, and I stay because I feel like I signed up to make sure I take care of him as he gets older. And I stay probably because I don't know about how I could deal with his anger or uptightness of how we would separate and move on. His concern is always about the money and probably about the fact that, you know, he's always trying to kind of patch us all up, but we're never really patched up. You know, we're never really fully connected on this other level. And he's totally fine with that. You know, we have little check-ins and so forth, but there's not a level of intimacy. And even when there is intimacy, I'm so turned off on this whole other level. And I'm just really scared to leave. I'm scared of how long it will take and dealing with his anger and how to split up. And, you know, and I just want to go have an affair at this point. And
well, what keeps you from just having an affair?
Finding somebody, that right person. You know, I found somebody that I'm kind of attracted to right now, and I'm like, why not go do it?
Well, why not?
But that's not who I am either, but I don't know.
Then why think about it?
Because I sort of want it. I want it.
Right, but is it a helpful thought? It's just like cake. What if you wanted like a half a sheet pan of cake every single day?
I get happy when I think about it. I mean, like I get energized and happy.
Do what?
I get energized and happy.
Do you really?
Mm-hmm.
Then I would be doing
it. And I know that I'm living in a fantasy, right? It's a fantasy.
Yeah, it's distracting you from taking care of the business at home. What I'm trying to point out to you is you need to quit telling yourself that fantasizing about this other guy, if you're not going to act on it, then it's detracting you from doing the hard work.
Mm-hmm.
Which is figuring out staying or leaving in your real marriage.
Yeah.
You're already having the affair. You might as well just say it. I am the kind of person who has an affair because I'm already indulging in it in my mind. I'm just not screwing someone right now. It's the only difference. You're still cheating on your husband. I had this same coaching with Beth at the 2-day. She was having an affair with a guy named Breon in her mind. Her husband's name's Brian. And so we were like, how often are you going to go visit Breon? Like, how many trips to Breon are you going to need to make before you just tell your husband you're leaving him? Because you already left him emotionally, if that's what you're doing.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's really hard for you to do the work you need to do over here in your real marriage when you're having a fake marriage on the side.
Yeah.
So tell me this. If you said, I'm not the kind of person that has an affair.
Right.
100%.
Right.
Okay. So there's no upside. You think you feel better when you think about this guy.
Mm-hmm.
It is no
energized.
This is what happens. You know, like when you are trying to lose weight and you binge eat?
Mm-hmm.
That guy is your binge.
Mm-hmm.
Feels good in the moment. but it leaves a mess on the backside. You have a mess on the backside because you're not dealing with your mess. You're just binging. You're creating your own internal drama. Like, you're not going to have any time to figure out how you're going to leave your husband or stay with your husband if you're fantasizing about this guy. Every time you're fantasizing about him, it's time you're taking away from figuring out your marriage for you and your kids.
I don't know how to deal with it. It's like I'm so stuck with trying to deal with it all the time.
What do you want out of your marriage? If this wasn't hard, if this was like, there was no hard, what would you do?
Well, it's like, I want to be with somebody my own age. You know, it's like, I've come to that place where I want to be with somebody my own age and somebody that's alive and wants to do things and have fun.
Well, your husband's alive, so let's make sure that we understand all. This is where thought downloads are very helpful. These mm-hmm. are the things I want. And then you need to pull out the things you already have that you're just discounting, like a live human being. Mm-hmm. You can say like, okay, well, I already have that one. So let's pull those.
I guess it's back. Like being alive inside of yourself, you know.
But he works a lot. Job, he's really detached.
Huh? No,
but this is the problem. You want your husband to do that work for you. You're not doing that work for yourself. Just like when you're cheating on him, that's not you being alive on the inside. That's you killing your own emotions, because that's a fake world. That's not creating true being alive. So if you want to feel alive on the inside, let me tell you, we think feeling alive on the inside means rainbows and daisies and happy and good things. Feeling alive on the inside means I feel all of it, which includes disappointment, which includes fear, which includes all the things that you're also trying to avoid. That's what being truly alive on the inside is about. So let me ask you this about your husband. If you had it all to do over again, would you do it again? Would you marry him?
Well, it would be without my kids, so that's the only thing. Other than that, no, I wouldn't.
That's part of the deal, though.
Yeah, I know.
So would you do all of this again, knowing what you know now?
The piece is no, and then the piece is for my children. I want my children. Would I be able to have children with somebody else?
But that's not going to help you.
Mm-hmm.
That, allowing yourself to think that those children could have come from someone else, never. When I ask you, would you do it all over again? It means, would I do this all over again? That includes the children. They're a package deal in this. We don't get to parcel them out, because what you're trying to do is you're trying to figure out how this is just, he's a bad person or he's not my lobster or whatever it is. And I'm not saying he is or isn't your lobster. I'm just trying to get you to get to a point to where you have some clarity about what you want to do, because whatever you do is going to be hard and not feel good. That's why the decision's hard, because you're either going to sign up to stay and learn to like what you have and learn to appreciate it and be okay with certain things, open up communication and him not change, or you're going to be like, and I'm out. And there's a whole nother set of hard that comes along with all of that over here. That's why you're staying in fantasy land. Fantasy land feels good, because then I don't have to do anything. It's just like why people keep binging. Because then I don't have to do the work on losing my weight. If I just keep binging, I don't have to deal with my real life. If I keep fantasizing about this guy, I don't have to do the work on my real life.
Yesterday I had donuts. I made a choice to have donuts. Mm-hmm. And I says, okay, I'm going to go have donuts. I checked in with myself a couple times. I spoke out loud to myself about it, did the whole piece. And then I says, I want to have donuts. So I went and sat and had donuts. I sat in my car in front of the donut shop, watched the homeless people all around me. And I decided to sit there in my sadness and know that I was really sad and lonely, and that that's why I was eating my donuts. And I wasn't getting what I wanted either in my marriage or either in the fantasy of my affair. Mm-hmm. And I was sitting there in the loneliness and I was watching the people in front of me. And my choices were I wasn't going to drive and I wasn't going to hide. I was going to sit there and do it. I didn't eat all of it, which was good. I had 2 versus 3.
I'm proud of you for practicing awareness. That's really strong.
So, you know, I just said, okay, show up. You're showing up with your emotions right now.
Yeah. And that's what's going to have to happen. Because for you to make the decision whether or not to stay with your husband or not is going to require you to show up for all of your emotions, which are going to include fear, doubt, and sadness, and all of those things, risking judgment and disappointment and all these things with your children.
Yeah.
And it's also going to allow you to show up for strength, courage, and other emotions that come along with making big decisions. I mean, I would love to be able to just tell you what to do.
Yeah, I do too.
Telling you what to do.
Wave your any magic wand that's out there.
The best magic I have for you is to ask yourself in your situation to be really honest with yourself about whether you would do this again or not. I always find that to be the first and most powerful question, because if the answer is yes, then there's usually some work to do on like thinking about why you're there to begin with. And like bringing yourself back to a place of understanding why you are there.
Yeah.
If the answer is like a hardcore no, I'd even give up like knowing that my children could have been born. Then you start looking at, you know, then why am I choosing to stay? Because we don't want to stay in just fear and doubt about our future either. Because you can figure anything out. Anybody can figure anything out. The worst part of making decisions is agreeing with yourself you'll never regret the one you made. Most people think that there's a right or wrong decision. There's just like, it comes down to everything. There's just going to be the decision you make, and it's the one that you're willing to prove right. And the only other thing I would add is for you to think about, what is it that you most want to feel right now? Like day to day, whether you stay or go, what is the, like if you leave, what do you think you're going to feel?
Yeah.
And if you stay, like I would do the one leaving. You have a lot of like, it's him causing these feelings. And it needs to be like your husband is your circumstance, and doing some more models on, these are the things I think about him that are causing these feelings. Just so that you take ownership that the reason why you feel the way you do is because of you and not because of him.
Yeah.
Because what will happen is if you leave, you'll find some other circumstance out in the world to blame for your feelings.
I know.
When you leave and you're lonely because you don't have a husband now, you'll think it's because you're single.
Right.
Or because you're divorced. And it won't be because it's your thoughts about being that way. We always will carry our thought habits along with us. So if we don't understand how to just own the way we feel, we carry them into every circumstance we come up on.
Yeah.
So I would just make sure that you get really clear on what feeling you're searching for. And are you willing to work for it for yourself and generate it for yourself?
Yeah.
Like connected, you had said something about being connected.
Right.
You need to be connected to you first before you worry about being connected to another.
Right. Right.
Does it make sense?
Yeah, totally. Totally.
Well, I don't feel like I gave you much other than a big heavy load of lots of decisions in your future.
Yeah. And clarity to just pick them apart and continue to remember it's more about me than anything else.
Yeah.
And some good good questions for me to work on.
Yeah, I always, you know, in the midst of when some bullshit's going on in my life, I always feel better just simply knowing that the way I'm thinking is the one thing that I know no one can take from me.
Yeah.
No matter what's going on in my world, I can always show up for my own brain. Like, that no one can take away. And so that always allows me to just have like a moment of like where I can just breathe. I may not be excited and happy and thrilled, but I can breathe, you know?
Yeah.
Well, good luck, honey.
Thanks.
You're welcome.
Thank you so much.
All right. Bye. Okay.
Have a good day.
Elizabeth, let's do you. Y'all, I may end up having to cut the front of my hair. I don't know if I can hack all this hanging down in my face shit. You're going to have, there you go. We've got a camera. Now we need audio. The rumor is it's bottom left. There we go. Yes, I can hear you.
Oh, great.
All right. What are we coaching on?
Well, before I get into that, can I just fangirl out for a moment?
Yes, you can.
Now, I have been in PNP for a year. I found you last January. Mm-hmm. And last month, I hit my goal weight and I joined Century Club.
And, oh!
But beyond that, you know, my whole life is changed. I'm already going to cry.
Oh, my God. I think I started it this morning when I cried all over my live. I'm like, and everybody's cried today. And
oh, my gosh. It's one of those days. But anyway. I just love you, and I love PMP and all the girls.
Oh, well, thank you.
Best place ever.
Well, thank you for doing the work on yourself more than anything.
Yeah. I've done a lot of work, which is why I'm on the call with you. And thank Wendy. Saw that comment there. Which is why I'm on this call with you, because I'm so fucking aware of everything going on in my life. You know, all my thoughts and all my feelings now. That I had to sign up for this because I'm kind of, you know, just, I feel like Wonder Woman, you know, just putting out fires and flames all over the place, solving all my bullshit. But so this one keeps coming up, but sporadically. So it's taken me a while to identify the problem. Okay. Basically, I tend to dance around subjects. So that's on me in here. I have two boys, one 12 and one 8. My 12-year-old has autism.
Okay.
So you're the perfect person to discuss this with.
I'm also going to stand up. If you're wondering what I'm doing, my leg's killing me, so I'm going to stand. I preach better anyway when I'm standing. Go ahead. I can do it the same.
So basically, my 12-year-old, he's been diagnosed since he was 4. And just recently, like the last 4 or 5 months, we've been taking him for some more extensive testing. We're kind of trying to figure out a bit of a roadmap for him as he gets older, you know, like strengths, weaknesses, what to focus our energies on and that sort of thing to make him to make him a functioning, independent adult. So I know he's only 12.
I hear you on that one.
I know, right?
Yeah.
So we've been for like three extensive outings with him. And I've noticed after each one, I go on a binge. And this most recent one was like 2 or 3 weeks ago. It was his IEP renewal, which is always, I want to say drama filled, but I know that's not right. It's my thoughts about it. But I mean, I'm talking punishing binges. And I know it's coming from unresolved things that I have to deal with. I'm not concerned about the binge because I know that's really just a self-indulgent distraction, honestly. From the real issue here. And like I wrote to you, I think I'm grieving. And I think I'm grieving because every time I can't talk and cry at the same time very well. But every time we have one of these sessions, I just think to myself, I grieve for the life he's not going to have. And the one he wants so desperately, and just all the things we take for granted as, you know, quote unquote, normal people. And it's paralyzing.
Well, this is sure why you're binging. I can tell you 100%. One, what I can tell you is I get it. I have definitely been down this road. I still catch myself wanting to go down this road frequently. It's an easy one to be like, oh, there you are, road. Let's do fear, panic, and grief.
Right.
The only thing I can tell you, and this is what I was talking to the second caller about when she was talking about the, you know, there was supposed to be this 20-pound lighter version of her going to Asia and stuff. It's the same thing that we do with our kids. We have in our mind that there was this version of them that they're never going to get to be.
Right.
And that is just poison in the well. There was never that child. And this was what, now I'm going to cry. The hardest coaching I ever got from Brooke was when she talked to me about how that version was never even born, never existed, never in the universe, was never supposed to be in the universe, was never my child, and I am grieving something that is, like, useless. Mm-hmm. And it was very hard to accept because my brain wants to say he was supposed to be this way. And it has taken, like, God, I don't know, 20,000 models to just get to the point to where I catch myself wanting to go there and just saying, it's such a, like, I literally tell myself every time, it is such a waste of time to think that. Like, it just is a waste of time. It's like, I have this version of Logan. And I have to do a lot of work on, like, being okay. Like I love him, but there's a lot of work on being okay with this version.
Right.
And being like, this version's good. I'm missing out on so many amazing things. And I also cut myself some slack on, there's a lot of parts of this version that I don't like. But that happens with every human, even our own children. This is not because our sons have autism that we should feel bad because we don't, you know, love every piece. But we don't have to feel guilty. We don't have to think that there's a better version. We don't have to do that part either. We can just be like a normal mom. Like, we, you know how, like, we always think about, you said it earlier, normal kids. There's the normal kids, and then there's our kids. It's like there's the normal moms, and then there's us. It's like, no, we are a normal mom. And normal moms don't love every moment of it. And normal moms get scared sometimes. And, like, when I started being able to drop into that, I didn't need to, like, drink the wine as much. I didn't need to get away as much. Because I was willing to just be there and just be like, it is okay to not love every minute of this. And sometimes I'm scared, but knowing I'm scared because it's my thoughts and not because I think it's real. And I think that's really important for you, Elizabeth, is to really start identifying, like, I keep thinking these things about my child's future. I keep thinking about this other child he was supposed to be. Like, when you have that, like, at a core belief that that was a possibility, then when you go in an IEP meeting and it's nothing like that, you're going to want to binge to get away from it. So what else? Tell me what else. What do you think about what I just said?
Well, I mean, I agree with what you're saying. And I see, you know, logically, I'm supposed to be different. But how do you, well, you once mentioned you have not only a relationship with Logan that you've worked on for a long time, but you have a relationship with autism that you have to work on as well. And I feel like I'm finally starting to work on that relationship. So I want to know what that looked like for you, that evolution of that relationship. And also, how do I mean, I think I'm a fantastic mom and I'm a bulldog of an advocate, but how do I keep my focus on him in the present with, like, a nod to the future without getting overwhelmed by the fear and the anxiety and just for him? Like, I want to be able to protect him. I mean, the thought that I'm going to die one day and leave him alone in this world is just, it's paralyzing. And I don't know that I can ever do enough to prepare him. That's my thought. I always go back to that. I feel like I can never prepare him enough to survive without me. And I also feel, on the other hand, that I'm failing at this. So I'm not sure where to go with this, but I think it's my relationship with autism.
Well, there's like three loaded diapers here.
I know, right?
let me point out your three, and then we can address. I'll kind of tell you how the most one I think this the easiest one to start with, and that is the relationship with autism. It's the relationship with autism, and it's going to be how you're going to think about his future, and then you have a whole nother subset of how you want to think about, or what do you want to think about when you think about you passing before him? And I've worked on all of these. Number one, the relationship with autism. I did my thought download on what I think about it. A lot of my thoughts came down to, the most painful ones for me was that it took something from me, that it was a bad thing. I did not have autism as just literally as benign as hangnail. Like, it has to get to the point in the C line to where that's where it is. And in order for me to get to where it was neutral, I literally had to like identify the thoughts that really suck for me, which is autism did not take anything from me. It is a diagnosis. Like, I had to really embody that. And it took a lot of practice. It took a lot of me hearing myself think it took something from me to saying, no, it didn't. Like, this is what I have. It's no different than the relationship that with my legs. Like, you know, my obesity and weight loss didn't take away sexy legs either. This is just my legs. Like, it just, I had to tell myself that so many times. Because what happens is, when you think it took something away from you, then you think something's wrong with it. Then your child is labeled as autism, then you start thinking something's wrong with your child. And when something's wrong with your child, then you think there's something wrong with you. It opens up the Pandora's box of batshit crazy. And so, like, just stopping it at the working definition was super helpful for me. That it's just a diagnosis. It's something that I work on. It is something he works on. And, you know, if you want to think we can overcome this, we can prepare for this, we can do these other things, you can have 1,000 different thoughts. But me allowing myself to truly believe that, like, I did work on, one of the things I did was I thought about some of my friends who went to Catholic school with me, who were smart as all could get out. One of them killed himself a few years ago. Another one died of a drug overdose. Didn't none of them have autism? Like, me, like, having to take myself to a place of, like, anything can happen to anyone. This is just our thing. And that's it. It really, I know that sounds terrible, but it really helped me to get out of my, like, feeling like it was a cross to bear. Because I had to let that part go. The next thing is, like, the relationship with his future. You're going to have to start seeing something more than a nightmare. Or every time something happens in the present that is about his future will trigger anxiety. If you think his future is only your nightmare version, that he can never be prepared enough, that you're going to die before him, like, that can be co-mingled with the other. You need to start envisioning a better life for him. Right now you're envisioning not a very good life for him. And giving yourself, again, grace to understand that it's just because you've been in panic mode for a long time. You're just now getting to the point where you're really managing your brain around this part. Like, you had to lose 100 pounds. Now you need to lose 100 pounds of autism weight. It's going to be no different than doing the same work, not binging on your fear. All of the patterns that you had with your overeating are probably coming out. Same thing with being a mom over here. You know, like, your fear of his future is no different than when you start losing weight. Fear, I'll never lose my weight. It's understanding that you can do all that mental work because you have done that mental work. Just don't let, because it's like, well, it's my kid though. This is different. No, it's no different. And then just, you know, I think at some point we just have to trust everything's going to work out. The more you trust that shit's going to work out, the easier the work to do now to make sure things work out happens. But I get it. I mean, I plan a lot for when I'm going to be gone and what Logan's future is going to be like and stuff. But I do it now not from a place of I think that if I don't do it, he's going to be on the streets. I do it now because I love him. And it's a lot easier to do that work from joy and love. And I will tell you, for a long time, there was like this, I had a story around that what autism took for me was me and Chris's retirement and our future and our time together. We would always have this kid at home because my uncle, he has autism. He's had to live with my grandmother all his life until she died. And then he moved in with my mother. And I was just like, this is what we got. Like, here we are. Like, and it was painful. And so then when we were always trying to set him up for his future, I was always doing it from a place of the future I didn't want for me. And it sucked. And it made me like a therapist. And like, I felt like I white knuckled being a mother and stuff. I didn't get to have the mothering experience I wanted to have. And then I started working on it more from a place of like, what if he did just live with us for the rest of his life? And what if for the rest of his life, we taught him every single thing he would ever need to know. And we just did it because we just love him and we want a great future for him. It's made the journey so much easier. And I don't, like, who am I to say whether or not he's going to live with me for the rest of my life or not? Who knows? And that's the same thing for you. Like, just this pre-worry shit doesn't work. I don't know if that helps. I don't feel like I really coached you. I feel like I just kind of talked to you about my own experience.
It's fine. That was helpful. It absolutely. I mean, just talking about it is helpful. I mean, it's funny when you were talking about the weight loss, I feel like that was the easy part. I started to uncover, you know, all of these thoughts. And I tell my Marco Polo girls, I was like, you know, this is my Everest. And I know that's making it very dramatic, but it's like all of a sudden it's, like, I've been dealing with this since he was diagnosed, before that, obviously, but for 12 years. And I just haven't really, really processed any of this in a very meaningful way. So that's why it just seems so heavy.
Well, and I think now's the time to do it. I mean, you've lost your weight. And let me just tell you, please do this work, not just for him, but for you, because what I don't want to see is you come this far with your weight and you don't deal with this. So you create a weight problem again so that you have a help, like a distraction, so that you don't have to deal with this. Cause that happens a lot. And we don't need that happening. Mm-hmm. You have every mental tool you have and need to do this. I promise. I don't promise very many things, but I have that promise. Done good work. You'll keep doing good work. One thing about, like, not to make sweeping generalizations, but one thing about us autism moms is that even when we are scared and panicked and doing all this other stuff, we're hard workers.
Yeah.
But like, all I've done is cry since I woke up this morning. Oh, well, speaking of children, my niece picked up and it's only 40 degrees. So I don't want to be an a-hole mom and have him standing outside waiting on me today. So you keep in touch. Okay.
And thank you. I just want to say, I'm going to see you at camp in April. So
good. I'll be there. We're going to have a good time.
Yes, we are.
All right. I'll talk to you later. Bye.
Thank you so much. Bye.
All right, everyone. I am out of here. Y'all have a good one. Queens Club, I'll see you tonight. And hopefully, maybe I can find a Xanax or something to take before then. Y'all have a good one. Bye.